together and also for dealing with our last-minute technical hiccup just now. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining this year. Looking forward to your feedback to me or to Morty going forward. And but I want to thank you all for joining on a journey to discover hopefully a lot about ourselves and to discover a lot about the guidance that the Torah offers and the vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us of what we can be. And for this journey that we're going to be beginning together right now, you and I have a remarkable guide and a remarkable map. Ramchal writes in the third chapter of Mesillas Yesharim, we'll be getting there, Mirtz Hashem, about the importance of gaining guidance from someone with greater perspective, someone who's already climbed higher on the ladder to a point that I hope to reach, to a point that we're angling to reach, the importance of gaining guidance from someone with that sort of perspective. And Rav Yosef Avivi, who is one of the people who has written most poetically in the last couple of decades about Mesillas Yesharim, points out that in many ways that guide is Ramchal himself. He will be our madrich, and the map is the sefer that we begin to learn together right now. And we'll find in Mesillas Yesharim a remarkable blend, both of great insight and wisdom and depth into so many psukim and so many agados of Chazal in the Gemara and in Midrashim, and at the same time arranged very practically and arranged in a way that's very user-friendly and a way that in time we'll discover we can really put into practice. So hopefully we can walk out with both, on a macro level, a greater understanding of the system that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us in his Torah and what Avodas Hashem is all about in the large, and to walk out as well with practical growth. And that really brings us to the very opening paragraph of the Ramchal's introduction to Mesillas Yesharim. Just a word before we open Mesillas Yesharim, just a word about text. I know some who are listening to this year enjoy reading along inside and enjoy using text, and some will enjoy reading outside. And I hope that these shiurim will be tailored to both. If you want to follow along, you certainly can, either with the Hebrew Mesillas Yesharim or the Hebrew English, or if you want to just listen outside, that's fine as well. One more technical point, obviously there are many different editions. I'm going to try to give you a sense of what chapter we're in and where roughly in the chapter we're looking at. And that will enable you to follow along if you so desire. So we're actually going to open right now the Ramchal chapter 0, the introduction, before Perek Aleph. The very first paragraph really sets us up to appreciate what the Sefer has to offer. Amar Mechaber, let's take a look here. We're not going to be reading every word inside, but this paragraph is an unusual gem. How to use this sefer. Ramchal writes that he did not write this, he did not compose the sefer in order to teach people things they don't know. Ironically, counterintuitively, he tells us in selling us on his sefer that he really plans to tell us things that we know, and things that we tend to know well. He says, most of my sefer are things that people know well. Most of my sefer are things that no one doubts, but we don't put them into practice. It's ironically in direct proportion to how well known these ideas are. To that extent, we tend to know them and ignore them, know them, and forget about them when they're important. And he goes on to say that that's why it's going to be incredibly important to learn the sefer. The bulk of the usefulness of the sefer will come not from skimming it once, but from returning to it again and again as the ideas grow on us. Now, some have written tongue-in-cheek that this is the one sentence in Mesillas Yesharim that's not true, because he certainly has a tremendous number of chidushim, a tremendous number of new ideas. But there is incredible merit to what he says here. His goal is less to transmit new ideas and more to enable us to put into practice ideas we may have thought about or may have come across, but not in the way that he's going to present them. And that brings us temporarily to the introduction to another one of Ramchal's Sfarim. Derech Hashem, he opens by talking about how two gardens can have the same array of plants, but one is a mishmash and entirely disorderly, chaotic. The other one has the same contents but arranged in neat rows. You appreciate the second one much more. The value, he points out, of an idea is far multiplied when it's in perspective and when it's in context. And that's really one of the great gains we'll have from Maseil Sisharim, is the ability to put individual agados, individual psukim, individual concepts that we know as being part of our Yiddishkeit into a broader context. And doing that will not only increase our understanding, but also make them actionable and make allow us to grow from and with them. Now, the Ramchal's first major assertion, and that's the bulk of the introduction, the bulk of the Hakdama, is that Avos Hashem itself is something worthy of study. Ramchal talks about how wise and smart people, intellectually curious people, love to learn different things. It gives examples of within different fields of Torah study and different fields of science and engineering and technology. And yet, Avodas Hashem often falls by the wayside. Avodas Hashem, he points out, we often tend to assume that we know it all. Not that it's not important. Of course, we subscribe to the importance of Midos and subscribe to the importance of Avodas Hashem and Yiras Shamayim. He says any decent religious person will believe in those ideas. But when we get down to it, there's far more depth to those concepts, and we often give them credit. And while any decent person may have the basics, an opportunity to study Avos Hashem seriously is an opportunity to really develop those ideas and understand where they can take us. I had that chance with some of you this past Shavuot to begin to explore who the Ramchal was. I want to spend the next 2-3 minutes or so just recapping that for those who were not there and for those who were there, because it gives us appreciation of Maseil Sisharim in general and specifically of this introduction. He is, we often, in our minds, when we hear Musar Sefer, we often think of an old man with a long white beard. We often think of someone who lived on a lofty realm, but far removed from what we consider to be everyday life. And we may think of a Sefer that's dusty and that we have difficulty, to which we have difficulty relating. The truth is, Ramchal was none of these. Moshe Chaim Lutzato never had a long white beard because he unfortunately did not live past 40. And he was actually a clean-shaven, young, brilliant Talmud Chacham, who was incredibly active both in Nigla and in Kabbalah. And in part because of his clean-shavenness, now is not the time for the full story, he was falsely accused and ultimately kicked out of Italy, escaped across Europe to Amsterdam. Oppressed, he was forced to promise that he would not spread Kabbalah. This was in the post-Shafet Tzvi era, in the early 1700s. There was great fear of what abuse of Kabbalah could lead to. And as a result, even legitimate use of Kabbalah was unfortunate at the time suspect. Ramchal promised that he would not share that depth with others. He was forced to make that promise. And Maseil Sisharim, which you hold in your hands right now, is the first major sefer he publishes after taking that promise. So what we're going to discover is a man who was, in the finest sense of the word, a true Ish Torah Umadam. Many of his greatest Talmidim were medical students. He was a poet and an optician, and he was an extraordinary Talmud Chacham in Tanakh and Gemara and Halacha, with an unusual grasp of Kabbalah as well, and a man of great depth, and a Tzaddik Elyon, who is now, we open now the Sefer that he wrote when he was no longer able to express ideas with the vocabulary of Kabbalah. So what we expect to find is a Sefer of extraordinary depth and extraordinary breadth written in plain Hebrew, written in plain, accessible language. And so that brings us back to the central assertion of this introduction, which is Avodas Hashem is an extraordinarily deep and profound study, that it's an intellectually rigorous discipline. It compares well to to, as he says, mathematics and astronomy and engineering, and it compares well in terms of rigor and depth to Ian in Halacha and to Ian in Gemara. And as an example, and after he demonstrates this assertion, he goes on to say, so now let's roll up our sleeves. You've convinced me. There's plenty to learn, plenty to study, plenty of detail, richness to be gained in studying Avos Hashem. If we're going to take this as an intellectually rigorous study, the first thing we need to do is define our terms. What is Avos Hashem? And we'll close over the next minute or two. I want to spend the last couple minutes. We're going to experiment with taking questions in the last few minutes. So over the next minute or two, I want to end by beginning. Because this, we'll end for today, even though we started late, I want to end on time. We end for today with what's the end of the introduction, and is going to open up worlds for us. Rav Chaim says, if this is really an intellectually rigorous discipline, so we need to begin by defining terms. What does Avos Hashem consist of? What are its elements? There's no better place to look than the Chumash itself. And here we are around two-thirds to three-quarters of the way through the Hakdama, probably depending on what printing you have, the last page or two. It's right where he quotes Psukim from Devarim Perek Yud. Humasha Moshe Rabbeinu, Alav Hashem Lamdeinu Bamro. Moshe Rabbeinu seized upon this. Ve'ati Yisrael Mo Hashem Lekech Hashem Imach. He, in Parshas Ekev, asks one of the few quite direct questions asked outside of conversation in Chumash. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of us? The fundamental question. And as Ramchal notes, the psukim, the following psukim, go on to list five elements of Avos Hashem. Yira, walking Hashem's ways. Ahava, love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wholeheartedness, and keeping all the mitzvahs. It behooves us, he says, now, those are the five elements, but what do they mean? And we'll close with this. Well, we know what Yira is, it's Yira Shamayim, I think that's nothing much, we've heard of that before. But what does Yira mean? What does it mean to be, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to be theophobic? Are we bad Jews because we're not walking around shivering, scared of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean to love a person? But certainly how does any of that translate to loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He goes on to define, and I'll give you a nugget to consider for next week, that right here in the next paragraph, that Yira isn't fear, and Yira isn't theophobia. And perhaps we would do better drawing upon the passage in Mor Nevuchim, which is quoted by the Ramah in the opening page of Shulchan Aruch. Ramchal goes on to say that perhaps what Yira actually means is not God fear, but God consciousness, and living with an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll pick up Mirchem next week in the end of the introduction by looking at how the Ramchal defines the basic elements of Avos Hashem, and then we're going to move from there.